He's Big Joe Duman. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. I feel like it's been a year since we've actually been in studio, so good to be in here today. What's up, JoJo?
It's good to be back home where we belong and seeing our good friend, the famous, the talented Dr. Crane.
Yes.
Back there behind the
just here, guys.
I'm famous here. Young Italian American doing a great job.
Yes.
You guys do a great job behind the mic as well, all right?
Yeah, we try. Thank you. Also, how about this? It is finally here. The pro day for Cam Ward down at the University of Miami. You and I drove through there one time and saw more money than we'll ever see in our life.
Yeah, that was back December of 23, but is he going to throw today or is he going to like half-ass like he did in the bowl game?
I have no idea.
What's he going to do today?
I have no idea. Paul Kuharsky reporting that the contingent from the Titans that is there include Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi, Reggie McKenzie, Dave Ziegler, Brian Callahan, Nick Holtz, and more.
Why is Nick Holtz there?
I knew you were going to say that. I knew the moment his name came out of my mouth, you were going to say, why is he there?
Why is he there? I mean, the guy makes suggestions. He doesn't actually do anything.
I don't know. You don't know exactly what he does.
He told us. He told us at camp last year.
Right, but I mean, he could do other things.
He told us at camp.
Okay, he could do
other. Because I said, what specifically do you do? Well, I don't actually call the plays. I make suggestions. I'm like, so you got the same title I have at the radio station, which is a whole lot of nothing, man.
Okay, all right, yeah. I mean, basically.
Thank you.
It is. 615-737-1025, that's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So after today, is it like basically just yell it from the rooftops that, you know, that they're taking Cam Ward? Or, like, I mean, how is this going to work?
I don't believe they're taking him. Until they walk up there and say, we're taking Cam Ward, I still don't believe it. And I know the Giants signed Jameis Winston this past weekend, and I don't care about that. But I still think they want to make,
by that, but,
you know, they want to make a splash. And I think the Titans still hold the cards, man. Oh, they hold all the cards. And until this happens, and I think they're forcing themselves into talking themselves into taking Cam Ward. And, you know, it's just, I don't think he's the guy. I really don't think he's the guy.
Well, I know you have to be excited that the Titans are reportedly signing a kicker. I mean, that's riveting stuff right there. Joey Sly, who had been with the Patriots and the Commanders, has 81.7 field goal percentage. So they have signed him.
I'm sure Nick Folk loves this.
See, I thought Nick Folk was a free agent.
I don't know.
I guess he's not.
I guess
I was wrong.
I guess he's not going out to the old folks' home. But
I swear.
Shut your mouth on that one. Good for them. They got Hecker and Sly, man. It's a nice 70s cover band. Johnny Hecker, the punter.
Or
and
two
now,
like L.A. detectives.
Oh, that's even better. Yeah. Hecker and Sly. Damn it, Hecker and Sly. You should have figured this out weeks ago.
Sorry, Captain.
Probably not.
Clay is their captain. That
is Clay going to call in today after Vanderbilt couldn't beat St. Mary's?
I don't even want to talk. Do we have to talk about that? I don't even want to talk about it.
He's got a laundry list of things to do. He didn't bring donuts.
Right. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Vanderbilt had gotten pounded by Alabama on Sunday anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered.
I know. It just you had to bring this up. I mean, I'm sitting there Friday. I'm listening to the game. I'm watching the game. I finally get home. It's the end of the game. And I'm just going, why do I do this to myself? I have been a fan of the Vanderbilt Commodores basically since birth. I know this is coming. No offense to, look, everyone, they've had a great season. They made the tournament. Happy about that. But it's like I sit there and I start to allow myself to think, all right, they're going to win a tournament game. Bring on Alabama. Let's go. And then I just get disappointed.
What I got after the game, listening to everybody, it's like, hey, glad you got there. Was nobody mad? I'd be mad.
Yeah, no. I don't want any of that, I'm just happy to be here stuff.
So
no.
Let me ask you this question, and I'm conflicted on this about the tournament, all right? And so, you know, in football, if you're a Tennessee fan, Alabama wins the national championship, you want Alabama to get beat. I mean, you want Alabama in football. You want Alabama or LSU. I mean, you want your team to win. You want your Florida to lose. Is it the same way in the tournament?
Like what? You're happy to be there?
Well, no. Like if you're Tennessee, if you're a Tennessee basketball fan, does it make you feel good that there are six other SEC teams that are in the Sweet 16? No. I'm conflicted.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a cool thing, but at the same time, I want Alabama to lose. I want Florida to lose.
I see what you're saying, but it also kind of does. Now, you need to keep winning too, but it does show you how battle-tested you are. Like, I think Ole Miss dominating Iowa State like they did last night was more of a – it shows you how battle-tested they are in such a tough conference. Like, everybody was surprised by that. Like, you know, listening to the commentators and everything, they're like, man, I'm kind of surprised this happened. I'm not necessarily, because the level of competition that Ole Miss sees night in and night out is far greater than what Iowa State would see.
So you got seven teams in the Sweet 16. Say only two SEC teams made it. Then we'd be like,
everybody's talking about, oh, I thought they were so dominant. What happened?
So I'm conflicted now. I mean, because you're kind of like, all right, this is a tough conference. Florida and Auburn, and look what they're doing. They could go all the way. Tennessee's there. Kentucky's there. Arkansas made it. And so you're like, hey, good for these guys. Let's keep it going. Does the rivalry thing still work? Not work in basketball? Because in football, it's like, no, I want all these teams to lose.
Yeah.
In basketball, I see it differently, and I don't know why.
I think it does. I mean, it still exists, but it is different because of the tournament. I mean, I think it's a great topic to bring up. I mean, but I definitely think there is some differences. Like, you don't want your other SEC opponents to make the playoff in football because you want your team to make it and win it all, right?
Correct.
But then you have the same. You're going to have the same people that are like, "Oh, only one SEC team made it. They're not that dominant," you know. So it just depends on what side of the argument you're on.
So, So if you're a Tennessee fan, are you rooting for Auburn and Florida to lose? I guess probably. At this point now you are. But I'm like, it looked good. Seven SEC teams are in the Sweet 16.
Is that a record? I mean, I know it was 14 was a record to get into the tournament. Is seven to the Sweet 16 in the same year? That's got to be something.
Sure. I mean, I don't, the Big Ten, would they ever get, or ACC get that many? I don't know.
I mean,
but I like the fact that Oklahoma and Texas aren't in that.
Yeah.
So you can't, like, those two teams.
Well, Texas made a coaching change over the weekend.
They did.
So, and look, Sean Miller going there was like the easiest, you know, once Will Wade was off the market going to NC State.
Yeah.
As soon as, like, any inkling of Texas making a change, it's like, oh, that's going to be Sean Miller.
You're not turning down Texas.
No.
At all.
And Sean Miller's like Will Wade, you know, now we have these guys that they got in trouble. Well, now it's not really a big deal anymore. And so.
Right.
You know,
do all that.
And it looks like Chris Mack is going to go back to Xavier. So Chris Mack will replace Sean Miller at Xavier twice. Like, how funny is that?
More things change, more they stay the same. I need your opinion on something else that happened over this weekend, tournament game. 30 seconds to go in the Liberty game. Liberty's getting smashed by Oregon. And there's a guy wanting to come in for Liberty. Senior, never played in a tournament.
Oh, wow.
And they're not, and, you know, Liberty's got the ball. Oregon's got the ball, probably going to run the timeout. Guy's not going to get in. The ref notices him sitting there, right? How the ref knows who this guy is, I don't know. The ref calls a timeout for alleged spot on the court. So what it does
– lets him come in.
Lets him come in. I think that's absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
I love the sentiment, but I think it's wrong that he stopped the game. Does that give the ref – so that just shows the refs like, we're here to call games. We don't have all that power. That showed that they are somehow invested in the game.
Yeah.
Beyond calling – the fouls.
From the human standpoint, it's like he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
From doing his job standpoint, I see what you're saying.
Is that a Robin Hood system where
a little bit. I mean, it's not going to change the outcome of the game. Like, you're not. Well, okay. Let me ask this, because this has to factor in. I don't know what the score of the game was at the time, but are you going to potentially alter the total or alter the spread?
Keep going, baby.
I mean,
there's a lot of tentacles here for this.
Yeah, I mean, now there's kind of a discussion there.
Yep.
I mean, again, like, I'm not going to beat the guy up for it. and he shouldn't get in any kind of trouble or anything for it. Because, like you said, like, I appreciate the sentiment, but I also see, like, okay, you're showing a little too much control there. Just let the clock run out.
Well, why can't it be if it's Team A playing Team B and Team A's trailing by a point, they have no timeouts left, the ref can say, oh,
right,
spot well, on the
but
court.
Then but then it's a completely different conversation. Then you're looking at the ref going, like, wait a minute, what do you got on this?
But he's allowed to call the game to stop the game for alleged spot on the court.
Right, when you're in garbage time and you're trying to get a guy in.
Yes. I again, good point. Human element, love it, but by the rules, I'm conflicted a lot today.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that one. I'm definitely with you on that one. There's a little funny business going on there.
Right.
So 615-737. No, we don't. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoundy.com. A lot on the table today. It's Cam Ward's Pro Day down in Miami. Tennessee advances to the Sweet 16 where they will take on Kentucky, which should be a great matchup. Kentucky's gotten them twice this year. But a lot of coaches will tell you, a lot of people will tell you, it's hard to beat a good team three times. So can Tennessee punch their ticket to the Elite Eight? We'll talk about all that and much more. Brett Kern going to join us at 10 o'clock. Plus, be listening this hour for the keyword to text in to win Billy Idol tickets along with Joan Jett and the Blackhearts at Bridgestone Arena. A lot going on this Monday. We'll get to your calls and texts coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Does Brian ask you for recommendations? How do you tell him to run his play?
So, yeah, and so like maybe it's 2nd and 10, and he goes, hey, if we get half it here, what do you like on 3rd and 5? You know, and then he's asking his dad. And then, you know, we'll have guys that are kind of different situational that are kind of in charge of situations for us. So somebody might be in charge of the red zone and say, hey, if I get to the 10, you know, do you like this play?
That was Titans offensive coordinator Nick Holtz at training camp last year.
Dr. Crane,
I knew Dr. Crane would find it. There you go. Joe is basically like, so what do you do exactly?
That was a long answer of about talking about nothing. It's like asking, I don't know, somebody on The Office, like, what do you do? Like, Creed, what do you do here? Well, I got a lot of responsibilities. It depends on what time of day it is and what's going on.
Whenever anybody opens with, I have a lot of responsibilities, it generally means they don't do anything.
Right.
That's what that means.
What's the meme? Is it the Howard Stern guy that's walking around? It's like, what are you doing? He's like, me? I'm not doing nothing. Like, what are you doing in here? I'm not doing nothing. I'm just walking around. I'm like, that's kind of what it is right there.
Got your client count up?
Yeah, right. Get it up. You're at 3, need you at 5.
615-737-1025. Trey will lead us off today. Trey, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're good.
Hey, I was looking, you know, I wanted to talk about the Tennessee and Kentucky game. And my thing of it is, I think Tennessee's probably going to have to score somewhere around 80 points to beat Kentucky, because Kentucky's been averaging over 80 points a game. I think they can do it. And I want to talk about Cam Ward. Didn't he go to 3 different schools?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, he went to three different schools. So there's 3 different playbooks. Why did he do that? Why didn't he just stay at one school and produce at one school? I think that's a sign of instability, and I'm with Joe. I don't think we need to take him. Y'all have a good day. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Trey. Well, look, I mean, it's
– Well, look where he started.
Yeah, he started at Incarnate Word, which if you can tell me where that is, I'll I'll figure out a prize to give. No, I won't. But
right.
But I mean, like, you know, he started out there, and then he went to Washington State, and then Miami. Here's the other thing. I mean, I'm not picking on Trey here, but this is college sports. Guys are like, if you find me a player that spent his entire career at one school, then I'll be very surprised. There's not many of them left.
It's
I know they
climate.
Exist.
Yeah.
I know they exist, but you know, they're gonna bounce around because that's just what it's become. I mean, you know, we've seen guys in this tournament that I'm like, wait a minute, didn't they play for this other school last year?
I mean, they're all over the board for that. And I think the first quarterback, look, quarterbacks move and do this and that. But to me, the first one was Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew was out of Mississippi, went to Northwest Mississippi Community College, then to East Carolina, and then to Washington State, and then now he's in the pros. He's on his fifth team in the pros. But Minshew was the one, like, how are you getting all this transfer time for all that's going on? And so, but he made the most. Look, you're at Word, you go to State, you go to Miami, you keep moving up. Word. And John McClain's talked about being like, he's now been in three different systems. He's proved that he's very coachable. Nobody that's coached him has had a problem with him. So you see all the good and talk of the good intangibles like that. So, but you're correct. These days, no quarterback, you know, Joe Burrow started at Ohio State, knew he was not getting on the field with LSU. So guys are going to, with now, today's game, if a guy stays more than 2 years, you're doing something special, or he's doing something special where he is.
To Trey's point on Kentucky-Tennessee, for reference, Tennessee is a 4.5-point favorite, and the total is 146.5. So I don't think he's far off, maybe 75, maybe not 80. But, I mean, I think it's going to take around that to win this ball game. You know, the thing is, though, that Tennessee lost to Kentucky twice in the regular season, didn't see each other in the SEC tournament. It's really, really hard to beat a good team three times. I don't even think Tennessee's played their best game yet. I mean, you have these guards that are so vaunted that were terrible from the three-point line. Mm-hmm. You know, they turn that on, then who knows what this looks like. So, but that's the trick for Tennessee. They can't have – I mean, they can't – they got to go up a notch now. Like, they can't get by – by, you know, some of these guys just not having their A game. You won't win.
No, you won't. And it's going to be Indianapolis. So, Kentucky, is it at the Field House or is it the
– It's at Lucas Oil. Yeah.
There's going to be 60,000 Kentucky fans. Well, you got Purdue,
yep.
Houston, Kentucky, and Tennessee. Kentucky fans are going to take over. But, look, just play your game. Play your game and you win. And I'd love for Tennessee to beat Houston. I would love.
I mean, look, I am all in on Tennessee. I'd love to see them make the Final Four. You know, I've been hard on Rick Barnes over the years. But he's a hell of a coach, and I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah, why? He said nothing to you.
Well, my problem was for many, many years, would be really, really good in the regular season. Then they get to the tournament, and the wheels would fall off. Mm-hmm. Now, getting to Sweet 16s and Elite 8s, all right. That's what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
So – they've done that. They've gotten to three straight Sweet 16s, lost to Purdue in the Elite Eight last year. We'll see what happens this year.
To Purdue in the 16 and 18, is that right?
I think so.
Or 19, one of those years. They all run together now.
You had the
– Oregon State loss was embarrassing.
Florida Atlantic, didn't they get them?
But they made the Sweet 16.
Right.
I think you get an extra pat on the back for the Sweet 16. Three Sweet 16s in a row.
Yeah.
But the Oregon State loss in 21, the Michigan loss in 22 were embarrassing because you had good basketball teams.
Loyola Chicago.
Loyola to Aunt Jean. So you lose.
Sister Jean.
Sister Jean.
I have an Aunt Jean.
Sister Jean. Sister Jean. But now, I mean, you made three Sweet 16s is really, really good, and now you got a team that you can beat, that's beat you twice to get it done. So I think the Indianapolis Sweet 16 site is going to be amazing because Purdue, that's Purdue's backyard, man. Yeah. They're going to go crazy.
Let's get to Ron's call. Then I have another tournament point. Ron, what's up?
I was talking about rooting for, like, people from the SEC and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Me, I'm like the only loyalty I have as far as the SEC is Tennessee and Vanderbilt. I mean, why would I want to root? Because, see, once they're out of the tournament, why would I want to root for Alabama and Auburn's success just because they're in the SEC? These are people I'm competing with as far as recruits and NIL. So, that don't make no sense, you know, so to me. So that's all I had to say on that.
Love it, man. Thank you for that.
I think it's a fair point.
I'm football. I'm with you. I'm a little conflicted in basketball. I'm like, because it's like you're part of this super conference that's kicking butt in the tournament, and now, but I go back to football. And if I'm a Tennessee fan, I don't want Alabama winning. I don't want Florida winning. I don't want Auburn winning. I want them all to lose. For some reason, basketball, it switches my brain to a different one, and I can't understand that.
Okay, so Thursday night. At the Prudential Center in New Jersey, BYU, Alabama. You're pulling for Alabama?
I'm not a fan of really any team. But if I'm a Tennessee fan, no. I want BYU to win.
Yeah. I mean, and then same, let's see, then you got Maryland, Florida at the Chase Center in San Francisco.
But all these teams start losing. How does it reflect on your, like, that conference? Of course you want them to lose, but it just, I don't know. Again, that's why I'm like 50-50 on this.
And then the last game Thursday night, Texas, that'd be something. Texas Tech and Arkansas.
I'm Arkansas all the way.
John Calipari finds a way, beats Patino. I didn't realize this, that head-to-head, I guess this is in the tournament, that, or maybe it's just overall, head-to-head. He's gotten him. I think he's like 3-2 against him.
Calipari?
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, those two men hate each other. Each other.
So I agree with you, but I think they respect each other.
I'm more back to hating you now. Because Calipari's comments after the game, like, well, you go against Patino. He's like, yeah, I've known Rick since the 70s. Anyway, blah, 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 and our team. You just tell this disdain in his voice for Patino.
Well, I think it's more, I think Patino, and obviously Patino now, you know, that he's gone through everything, and I think he's just happy to be coaching, you know, so he's a little bit different now. I think they're – but no, I agree with you. But I think you can hate someone and still have respect for him.
Hate's a strong word.
I know, but it's a rivalry. I mean,
but I think they – I can't stand – but anyway, I'm hoping Arkansas does it. It's just nobody thinks they should be there. Love it, man.
But they both won one title at Kentucky.
They did.
I mean, Patino, you can kind of try and give him a second one because it was basically his team that Tubby won with, but – I mean, they both won one title at Kentucky, and then he got Louisville, which I guess got taken away. But, yeah, it had Calipari won at Memphis. That would have been taken away. So, I mean, they're pretty much the same.
He had to do at Memphis. Derrick Rose was
hitting free throws.
Free throw. That's it. It's that. I think that's been taken away, too. I think the runner-up has been gone. I mean, I think they took it away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, they did.
So you had Memphis in 93, Michigan in 93, Memphis in 08, and Louisville in 13.
Yep.
He wasn't part of the Michigan thing, but that doesn't exist anymore.
Yep. Never happened. Nobody saw it.
It didn't. None of that stuff.
It's been you know, the Men in Black little memory thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that we all got zapped with that. So.
Can I, real quick, and then we go to the break, the top headline on ESPN right now, which is making me laugh.
What is it?
Tiger Woods confirms he's dating Trump's ex-daughter-in-law.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Please.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought this up.
The pictures.
Because I have a bone to pick with Tiger Woods.
Good. I love it.
On that. It's Chasing Big Joe. Again, be listening for the keyword, and you'll be entered to win tickets to see Billy Idol and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, May 17th. You listen in this hour. I'll give you the keyword, you text it, and you'll be entered to win. It's Chasing Big Joe, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Great. Would you want to just say a couple of words, Tiger? He doesn't. He's much more comfortable. Tiger.
Was that Tiger? Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Monday. Brett Kernel will join us coming up at the top of the hour. Again, we're hitting a lot of different things today, but I wanted to address this that I saw, I guess it was yesterday, that Tiger Woods has basically confirmed his new relationship and says, this was a tweet yesterday. So who is this? I don't even know who this is.
Donald Trump Jr.'s
ex-wife.
Kai is her name.
Tiger says, love is in the air and life is better with you by my side. We look forward to our journey through life together. At this time, we would appreciate privacy for all those close to our hearts. Then why the hell are you posting on Twitter?
One photo shows Woods
or Instagram.
Vanessa Trump posing. I don't know where I got Kai from. Vanessa Trump posing together along with them lying in a hammock with arm draped around his chest as he gazes skyward. There is another picture of Tiger removing all the drivers from the house.
Well done. By the way, this picture of them on the hammock.
Right.
Tell me, show me a definition of the word staged. That is so staged.
Oh, absolutely it is.
Like, and then you want to be like, give us privacy. Like, okay, then why are you posting on social media?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's exactly
right. And it's not even you posting. This is like one of your people.
So Vanessa Trump, who was married to Donald Trump Jr., has been seeing Torrey Pines with her daughter Kai when Woods arrived for the final round to hand out the trophy of the winner of the Genesis Invitational. He's a tournament host, and then posted the picture out there.
Now, not that I care or our audience cares, but is he like, are he and Trump cool, or does
that's a great question. I would guess not.
Yeah, but I mean, he went to. Was that recent that you just played, or was that?
Yeah, that was this year. I would say back maybe early February.
Okay. So that was recent.
Let's get it now, the reaction now. The terrible guy didn't want him around.
I had a better bump, but I didn't get all done in time.
That's all right.
Anyway. Terrible golfer.
Somebody sent me a note.
He's no John Daly.
I love y'all's radio show. It's as if the show has ADHD.
If ever there were an accurate statement about this program.
Thank you, John, for the text. We appreciate that. That means a lot to us. Thank you. I just think, you know, it's the world of sports.
Of course, we got our great text now coming in about that. I'm just like, if you want privacy and don't want people talking about it, then don't post about it.
Right. I totally agree with that.
Don't bring photographers over to stage a terrible picture in a hammock and put it on social media.
And that's the stage part, because we see that all the time with certain people on Instagram, which just makes – that's why we make fun of that all the time, because it is so not authentic that it's like, what in the world is happening all that? I don't know.
Here's the thing about Tiger Woods. He makes it so difficult to cheer for him. Like he's the greatest golfer of all time.
Right.
I want to cheer for him. When he came back and won the Masters, it was like, that was awesome. I want to see him do it again. I want to see him get healthy. Like, watching Tiger at Augusta is like the coolest thing ever. But then he does stuff like that, and it just makes it so hard to pull for him.
Yep. I agree.
And there's so many people like that, but it's just like, why? Why do you do this to you? Why do you have to be a jerk?
Yeah, I get all that with what that goes on. I was thinking about with athlete that you love, but you can't stand his other half. And
yeah,
it's a June topic that goes on like that. I mean, I don't know Vanessa Trump from anybody in the world, and she's probably fine and fantastic, and they get along great. Long as he's happy, that's all that matters. I just thought it's funny because this was the top story earlier on ESPN.com.
So there's a texter that is up in arms about the Titans. We're going to just continue to be ADHD here. Why are the Titans signing a kicker when they still do not have a starting quarterback, and neither of the supposed top two quarterbacks in the draft are NFL starting quarterback material? Are they trying to turn the Titans into the Cleveland Browns of the South? If not for the new stadium being built, I swear Amy Adams Strunk is trying to drive attendance so low that she can move the team to Miami, a la Rachel Phelps in Major League.
Well, listen, do you want him not to do anything? They sign a quarterback? I mean, business goes on.
Right. And here's the thing. I heard Robbie and Joe talking about this. I'm pretty sure Nick Folk is a free agent.
Yeah.
I don't think he's under contract. I know he's still listed. Here's another Titans. If you're listening, I'm about to complain about you again. Fix your roster on your website, because there are guys still listed on this roster on the website, or at least they were on Friday, that are not on the team anymore. Take them off.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure Nick Folk is one of them.
All right. Is this treading on Jim Watt territory or no? There's no Jim Watt.
No, I don't think this is Jimmy's fault.
Okay. All right.
Call Jimmy and see, you know, yeah. Hey, can you do
get
this
on
for
it,
me?
Make it happen. I mean, that guy's like Chick-fil-A. He makes things happen immediately. No, that's the thing. He's like, what do you want them to do? Not sign anybody until they sign a quarterback? Then you could be waiting months. I mean, example.
This kicker sucks, but they signed a kicker.
Example. What's the most important show on 102.5 right now?
The one that's currently on the air.
Correct. And next, DVD.
Yes.
Then Jerry. Are they not preparing for their shows today?
It depends on who you ask.
Well, they're getting ready for the day. So work goes on. Work goes on. Robbie and Rexo, then now it's us, and DVD, on and on. Work goes on, so you can't just sit around. And I get the sentiment, like, the quarterback is the most important thing, but you got to have patience with this. Meanwhile, you got to go out and sign guys. So should they have not signed Dan Moore Jr.?
Don't have a quarterback. Can't sign anybody.
Can't sign anybody,
don't have
right?
a quarterback.
Don't do anything to get a quarterback. So I get why you're frustrated. I understand that. But, man, business has to go on. And signing this kicker today, does he have a relationship with Fossil?
I don't know. Joey Sly?
Joey Sly.
Listen.
It sounds like Ron Mexico. This is not a real name.
I'm going to declare something right now on this program on March 24th, 2025. That if he is the starting kicker for the Tennessee Titans, if Sly and the Family Stone is not what's played after he hits a field goal, then I don't know what we're doing anymore.
Do we have a Sly and the Family Stone? What song is there?
I mean, there's several.
What's the one that comes to mind that I can't? It's not. Oh, the OJs did Love Train.
Yeah.
What? Dr. Crane will figure it out.
Yeah, he'll find something.
But that, look at you. You need to get over there and. That even crossed my mind. I like that. Unlike the na 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 na
My Sharona.
Na 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 na.
Rob Baronis.
I remember when he kicked a team called a timeout. Baronis missed the field goal and they played it. And Fisher was losing his jewels on the sidelines. He was
fired off the fireworks too, I think.
Yeah, all that. He was going bonkers. And then all that, just the worst thing that could happen. But Baronis ended up making the field goal.
Yeah, I remember. And now they do Kick a Little by
Little Texas?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's what it's been the last few years. I like that. That's not bad. He's working back
there. He's with the lab going.
Yeah. There you go. That would be perfect.
I like this. But I need a line dance with the special teams guys.
To the left,
like Electric Slide. Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, this would work.
Oh yes.
I'm gonna confirm something.
I'm telling you, if they do this, we got to give you the credit. Mark this on March 24th. Jason McCabe finally said something relevant that we can mark down. Keep it
Thank
in
you.
There.
Blind squirrel finds a nut every
right.
Now and then. Let's qualify some people, shall we? We're going to be doing this all week during the 9 o'clock hour. You have to listen for a keyword. When I give you the keyword, you text it to 615-737-1025, and you will be entered to win an all-inclusive Eurostone Club ticket experience to see Billy Idol and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, May 17th. It's served up by Bavarian Beer House. Located at Opry Mills Mall, enjoy traditional German beer, brats, giant pretzels, and more in their expansive beer hall and garden. Text the keyword Billy, B-I-L-L-Y, to 615-737-1025 now. Do not call. Text it to 615-737-1025, and you'll be entered to win. Good luck. More coming. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. Hey, if you want to win tickets to a Preds game, be listening to Robbie and Rex Row tomorrow for Preds Pick to Click. All you have to do is guess a Preds goal scorer, and if they put the puck in the back of the net, you're a winner. That simple. Be listening tomorrow morning for the cue to call on Robbie and Rex Row. Chasing Big Joe live at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service here on this Monday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. Quick text for Dr. Crane. Joey from Bellevue. Hey, Nick, how about Nashville SC, the only local team with a positive outlook at the moment? 30 seconds, go.
They look great. This team, the rebuild is different. It's not a rebuild. It's a retooling process, and they look like a team that's playoff worthy.
It's funny how that works if you do it right.
Yeah.
I mean, now I don't know how soccer free agency, I know you go buy contracts and stuff like that,
right.
How that works in comparison to the NHL or the NFL. But, I mean, you certainly can do it. Like the Predators, I think, will be in a position that they can do a pretty quick retooling and probably be back in the game.
Right. And Nashville SC has done the same thing in the fact that they've grabbed guys from small, I guess, leagues, especially the, I guess, Swedish Premier League, where they got Tagseth, Yazbek, and now Ahmed Kasim. Yazbek and Kasim were not available this past weekend.
Why not?
Stomach bug, I believe, or something like that.
Stomach bug.
Yeah. And so Johnny Perez, one of the guys that scored the goal, he didn't know until 5:45 the day of the game and started.
Well,
so.
Then we got a Lou Gehrig situation here, because these other two guys are like, look up, you know how Lou Gehrig got his start? You need to look this up.
Wally Pipp.
Yeah. Wally Pipp, great player, didn't feel like playing that day. Lou Gehrig played, never relinquished his spot. So
he had never taken a day off.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So these two guys need to get tough.
I mean,
meanwhile, Johnny Padre here is going to go
Actually, I don't even think it was he didn't feel like playing. Didn't who's the manager? It was he's a Hall of Famer.
Casey Stengel?
No, yeah.
Leo DeRocher?
It might have been Casey Stengel.
Late 20s, man. I went around.
You weren't?
Billy Martin.
I'll ask Pogue.
Pogue would certainly know.
But overall, they are playing well.
Yeah, yeah, and then they've got some homegrown or some
young
guys.
Yeah. Isaiah Jones on the, I believe, substitutions list along with a few other guys.
What is that? What's a substitutions list?
You know,
it's the list of teachers that, you know, they could call.
The guys that are on the bench that are waiting to get their number called to go into the game.
Well, I'll just say he's a backup. Can you not? You soccer people are weird.
Joe,
just go with the flow.
What do you mean by
flow?
You people?
Yeah, easy
just go
with
the
phrase you people. You people. You people.
That's my Ross Perot when he came here and did that and didn't. It did that in Nashville in 1992 and didn't work well.
The thing
you people.
I say the thing that really does attract me to watching Nashville SC is that they're doing all this with guys that are on international duty. Andy Nahar, Jacob Schaffelberg, and you have other guys that are on the team already and they're slowly, gradually getting the ball under their feet and they're comfortable out there.
Again, what's international duty? Why are you not here? I'm paying you to be here. I need you here.
It's a whole soccer thing.
We'll get in this outside of
No, I want to know it right now.
International duty is when teams, international clubs like clubs, international nation teams like Canada, Honduras, Italy, America, all the above, they have these competitions.
Okay.
Like CONCACAF Champions Cup, all the above, and they end up grabbing players from club teams saying, hey, we need you to play for our nation. They go grab them. They're unavailable to play for their club. And then they have to find other guys that are already on the roster.
No, listen, if my top player, Nick Frazier, is from Argentina, and I got a big-ass game this weekend against New England for the MLS Cup playoff, and Argentina needs you to go play in some tournament down there, how do you figure this out?
It's the decision from the player that point.
Then David James is playing for you.
Yeah.
Well, we just lost. Thanks.
Sorry, Dave.
Really, that's a player's decision?
I think so. Once it gets to that point.
But I'm paying you.
I mean, sorry. Like, it then comes to the player's point of like, listen, hey, either I go play for my home country or I can go play for the club. And it honestly depends on
it's a international duty trumps anything else.
Why are you telling me this? Are you in soccer now too?
I mean, I just know that.
He's got some sources.
Okay. But you really like Nashville SC, their 5-3-2-1 attack, right?
With 4-2-2-2-2. Yes.
Oh, okay. 2-2.
I like their 8-6-7-5-3-0-9.
How's their Desmond Tutu? Pretty good? Looking good?
Jordan Tutu?
Jordan Tutu. So, okay, real quick, why are we so successful now? And by we, when you win, it becomes a we. When we start losing, it becomes what are you doing?
Yeah, no, Nashville, the reason why they're having so much success is this new, I guess, attacking style that BJ Callahan has brought in. After the team loses possession of the ball, they high press everything. And I've never seen a striker like Sam Surridge and, you know, an attacking midfielder like Hani Mukhtar, after they lose possession of the ball, they go after the defender, which is incredible because when you put more pressure on the opposing team, you create all these mistakes.
Okay.
And then Nashville's able to regain possession. And the creativity when they're on the ball is impressive as well. Like Eddie Tagseth, and it was this.
That guy.
And I'll talk more about this with Talking Calcio, but like, The way they use Eddie Tagseth, it's like he's a termite. He absorbs every part of the field. And Gaston Brugman, who got his first start this past weekend, he was more centrally located in the midfield. So then he's not as quick and fast. Okay. He's more of a, you know.
Right. But you know who could take out a termite? One Jake Wallman.
Yes. You're right.
So many reasons applied there. So when's the next Nashville SC game at home?
Saturday. Take on Cincinnati. Big rivalry game.
That'd be good. Okay. Where can people hear your podcast, and what is the name of it again?
It's called Talking Calcio Podcast. Thank you, Chase. It is on the Game Nashville Sports Network podcast.
There you go.
Talking what?
Calcio. Calcio in Italian is soccer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wanted to make it something,
Calcio. Good. I'm glad you are our inside source for all things Nashville SC.
It's not Calcio at Pepe, but it's Calcio.
We need to get Nani to record a promo.
I listen to my Nicholas. Talk to Calcio.
I can do something like that.
No, that's
that would be
serious.
Awesome. Yeah. Actually,
hello, I'm a Nani, my little precious prince, Nicholas. What is she called? Does she have a name for you?
She calls me Sunshine.
Sunshine.
By the way, for those who don't know, Dr. Crane is Italian. He has a wonderful, beautiful grandma who loves him and is a big fan of the show. And then we need her.
Calls her Nani.
Calls her Nani.
So we love Nani, too.
I made pizza Friday and I brought it over to her because she had surgery on her shoulder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, so she's doing a lot better.
Good.
And so I sat down at the kitchen table and we were sitting there and all of a sudden she goes, you know, the show you produce, I love The Chase and Big Joe.
Hey!
It's not Chase. It's The Chase and Big Joe.
I love it.
Do we need any more validation in our lives?
We're good.
Hey, the boss comes, hey, Joe and Chase, you're ranked last in Nashville. It's like,
we don't care. Nani loves us.
Nani loves us.
It's a Nani Nashville ranking.
Turns out we're not ranked last, but that's okay. Thank you, Nani. We love that. We're all over the place today, but it's kind of fun. Brett Kern going to join us coming up next. Lot out there, including, we haven't even touched on this yet, his former teammate is back in the news. He might make a comeback. We'll talk to Brett Kern about that. And much more on the Chase and Big Joe Show, Nani's favorite, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.